Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome everybody to another awesome episode of the Three Beards EPL Soccer Podcast. Ken, I am on high, as you can tell. You are on high. Tyler, you can even be a little bit high, as our teams are playing well. The league.
It's been a minute since all three of us showed
up. I know. The battle for second place that Ken doesn't care about is on the Silver Place bandwagon. I've invited Ken onto it as Manchester United has an awesome week. They still have a couple huge matches left to play in the next few days here that are knockout matches. But Tyler's Chelsea team shows up big. Ken, your Arsenal shows up big in two matches of the year. Wenger, I think, knows that he has one chance to save his job and come back next year, and he's considering using the Europa to keep himself in the game.
Well, and I've had some time since the 2-0 mollywhopping of AC Milan to think of this, and the only reason I'll call it that is because it was in Italy, away, against a very, very, very struggling Arsenal squad who has pretty much lost everything. Mm-hmm. Not even pretty much, they have. I question whether the manager even cares to win anymore. I question whether the players want to play for the manager anymore. They can say they want to all they want, and they say they are. The fans aren't even showing up to home games anymore, as you mentioned today.
Mm-hmm.
The empty seats for a home game against Watford. But back to Europa League, and I was in the beginning of the season. I did say it gave us nothing other than the fact or the opportunity to lose to Europa's second league, to Europe's second elite.
Mm-hmm.
But if we find ourselves in a position that we can absolutely win this thing.
Around
so
comes
now,
10.
No, now it does make sense, given our current place in the league, sixth, with absolutely, I feel, no chance, minus a Chelsea and Tottenham implosion of finishing fourth and gaining Champions League ground or access the season way through the Premier League and finishing fourth.
Mm-hmm.
We must put all focus into Europa League and winning that league. Now, the second part of this equation, does winning the Europa League allow Arsene Wenger to ride out on his chariot and leave gracefully, or do we still get rid of him in the summer? It's hard to say now because of the stipulations and expectations that the board of Arsenal has set for Wenger in the past. It's always been finished fourth. When he didn't finish fourth and we finished fifth, it was, okay, you won the FA Cup. Now you can stay. Then it was, no, nothing, you won the FA Cup again. Now if we win, you know, what can be considered an elite European trophy, you have no choice, I think, but to keep him on and allow his stay and to leave mutually at the end of the contract.
Yeah.
In 2 years. Do you think the same? I mean,
well, let me
I think it'd be disrespectful at the end of the season if he wins Europa and they say, okay, we're gonna part ways.
I wasn't intending to jump right in. I wanted to talk a little bit about the other things. You know, we're gonna talk about derby matches, whether they matter, rivalries. Whether they matter, you know.
Well, you got me heated up in the beginning.
So. Well, you got yourself heated up, Ken. I do want to talk about Arsenal's chances in Europa and whether or not they can win as they take it.
We'll go back to that, but just say right now, if they win, does Wenger stay?
Yes, he does.
If he loses, does he stay?
No, he doesn't. Wow.
Do you think Arsenal fire him?
Yeah, I do. I think if he finishes...
Okay, fine. Let's stop it, and we'll go back to the plan, and we'll go accordingly, and we'll come back to this.
Well, I want to talk about Tottenham versus Juventus, because I think there's a lot of interesting talking points into that.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I want to also talk about Tyler's Chelsea. I want to talk about Eden Hazard and Willian, and the form, as their forms I mean, reverse mirror each other as Willian's on fire and Eden Hazard doesn't seem to fit in all of a sudden. But yeah, let's we
it's
will
all part of the plan.
I promise you, we will get to Arsenal, and I like that you're ready to go, Ken. Arsenal had an awesome week, but we're gonna start with United's week, Ken, because they had the Liverpool match, which to me, just barely over the Juventus Tottenham match as the match of the week, just because we're an EPL podcast. United wins 3-2 over Palace. The argument that I had with Dr. Pete over which is a better offense is solved as Manchester United scores 3 goals and therefore had more league goals than Tottenham come Monday on the same amount of games. So, Ken, that argument is settled. Obviously, Manchester United is a better
statistically
offense.
Settled, yes. I have no argument. Can't argue with 100% statistics.
Settled as United goes down 2-0 to Palace and then proceeds to pull it out away in a match that could win them the silver medal, Ken. And then they go into the weekend.
There is no medal for second.
And then
you buffoon.
And then they go into a match against Liverpool at home. And Ken, I was expecting this Liverpool match for Jose to go for the draw, but it didn't really seem like it. It seemed like he played pretty positive tactics.
Yeah, no, I said last week I would not be surprised to see Liverpool smash Man United because I thought that they would come out looking just to not lose. But what happened was, I really think Liverpool, they weren't up for the derby. Like the match, they just weren't there. And when you don't show up for big games against big clubs, mm-hmm. you can't string passes together.
Yeah.
Your attacking three are not attacking. They're being stopped before that really they even get to the back four.
Well, Ken, have you heard of the Ashley Young brick wall? Have you heard of that?
Of course,
the wall of Ashley Young.
I have heard of that. I've heard of that. I mean,
Mo Salah,
so strong that a hard breath could blow it over. But yeah, I have heard of it.
Well, Liverpool didn't score in this game, Ken.
No, they didn't. Liverpool. And honestly,
excuse me,
they never looked like scoring, which is why when it was 2-0, I knew it was a wrap.
It was a wrap, but Eric Bailly had other plans. He had an awesome game for both teams. He scored an own
that's so
angle.
Happenstance though, you can't blame
no I don't that. He had an awesome game.
He was actually in the proper position.
He was in front of the near post, so. And it just hit his back heel and went in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's gonna happen. Like, he couldn't do that if he tried 500 more times.
No
to do it. It went off the back of his heel and it spun on the bounce.
Yeah,
De Gea almost blocked it anyway.
Yeah, well, that's what De Gea does. But actually, in this match, Ken, United it took advantage of two players in this one. They took advantage of Lovren, obviously, your boy.
Poof. Not my boy.
He got dominated by Lukaku as he completely misplayed Lukaku. I mean, all the center backs
I cannot believe that man is still starting next. It's disrespectful to Van Dijk that he's starting next to him because it kind of puts a lot more pressure on Van Dijk, and Van Dijk is never going to live up to that £75 million transfer with Lovren next to him, and I think it's disgusting. It's the only thing that I think Klopp has really made a big mistake on this season is ripping him off was a great decision. Putting him back into the lineup reversed the great decision.
Yeah, a lot of people said Matip should have been in there. They needed a more intelligent center back.
In there.
And Alexander,
and then the tackles he was throwing in.
Well, he just got dominated. Oh yeah, and then he got frustrated and fouled Fellaini of all people.
Did you see Klopp? I thought Klopp was going to jump onto the pitch and fight him.
Yeah, I did see that.
He tackled that guy. Who did he tackle twice?
Fellaini.
Yeah,
he got out dribbled by Fellaini.
Go,
my boy Fellaini, by the way. And Trent Alexander-Arnold gets dominated by Rashford, who comes back into the game, into the side for the first time. I believe his first start or second start in 2018.
It was his first.
Yeah, he's been on the bench, coming off the bench for a while. He had an awesome game. He scored
two really good goals.
Two excellent goals, both of which Alexander-Arnold was marking him for. Whether or not you want to say the second one was his fault or even the first one is his fault, I mean, it was a great cutback. Great defender sticks with him, though, Ken. Rashford.
Well, that's putting a lot of on Alexander on. I mean, I wouldn't blame either of them on there. I mean, the cut, you're going to beat 9 out of 10 defenders with a cut like that. I mean, he stopped in his tracks.
Yeah.
Cut it back. behind his leg, ripped it, far post.
Great finish.
If you're going to blame Arnold, you might as well blame Carey.
Oh, I can't blame him for blocking
it. I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. You can't block. I don't think anyone's to blame for it. It was just a really, really clinical move followed only by a clinical finish. I mean,
yeah,
it was fantastic. I mean, I have nothing to say about it.
No.
Except for the fact that I thought that we were done bad-mouthing Liverpool's defense, and then
they come in and show up
like that. I mean,
they only let up 5 shots in this game and 2 on target, and United scored both of them. But United looked in control.
Is that because United was only attacking? I mean,
they only attacked
the first goal came off of a counter.
Yeah, it was a flick on. Lovren misplayed the ball off of
Lovren just got owned by Lukaku. He didn't even jump for the header. Lukaku just flicked the header over.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashford did the rest. The second one, I can't remember the specifics of it, but I know Lovren was involved, and I know that Lovren, again, did nothing.
Yeah, that was the one. So, yeah, Mata got put through.
What do you have to do? But it's just the defense wasn't there, and the offense was contained.
Yeah.
And when you can contain Mo Salah and Sané, Firmino, I don't think that he offers as much creativity as Mo and Sané do.
Mane.
And I could be wrong. That could be creating a huge stir with whoever's listening to this right now, but I just believe
they definitely work in tandem for definite.
So you can control those two. They did it, and the result was basically 3 Manchester United goals.
Yeah, I think
2-1.
That is probably more of the story, is the idea that Liverpool got shut down in this game. Really no clear-cut chances that I can think of, Ken.
None.
Mo Salah, nothing at all in this game. Firmino completely shut down.
He was trying, though.
Mane,
he was just being shut down.
Yeah, I mean, we joked about Ashley Young at the beginning of the show, but Ashley Young had a really nice game in terms of positioning with Mo Salah. For Mo Salah to do nothing the entire game is a testament to whatever defender's side he's on, and it has to be Ashley Young in this case, as much as we like to make fun of him. But Bailly was commanding in this one. De Gea didn't have to make a save. I mean, I put a ball past him on an own goal, but it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't one of those own goals with the terrific finishes that we've been seeing lately. It was just like one of those dumb luck own goals. But Bailly still was one of the men of the match for me, for sure. And then United in the first half were dominant. In the second half, they were up 2-0, and they just decided to do the United thing, the Jose thing, and tuck it in, which they did it so early, Ken. And I was like, you're taking it to him. You don't have to pack up shop at
it's dangerous to do that too against a club like Liverpool, but Liverpool just wasn't up for it. They couldn't even string passes together.
Yeah, they had a rough game.
Chan was like pretty much not there.
Ox was too. He was absent.
Well, Ox got ripped out quick. I mean, you could tell he was mad.
Well, I think that, you know, Matic and
but that's Ox. I mean, if you're expecting more from him than that, I mean, you're extremely delusional.
He had been playing better. Matic and McTominay were excellent in this one. McTominay, with a quiet style that he makes the right tackles, and then he gets the ball to his team. He doesn't do anything overly positive.
Yeah, nothing flashy, nothing out of the box, just doing his job, and that's all you need.
Yeah, and I think that there are a lot of teams that would take take a player like that.
Absolutely.
How long he'll be allowed to do that will depend on how long United are playing well enough. You know what I mean? Like, when you're not playing well, that guy all of a sudden...
keep coming.
Yeah, exactly. When that guy's... When you're not winning, that guy all of a sudden becomes, you know...
Well, he's the first easiest target. I mean, when United loses a game to... Like, let's say they lose to Brighton this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be McTominay's fault. I mean, you can't guarantee that.
Yeah, he doesn't do enough.
Well, actually, it won't be anyone's fault in the public, because Mourinho will say that something else happened.
Yeah,
and he doesn't even he wasn't even at the game. He didn't even see United lose.
And I will echo the same.
And you'll echo. Mm-hmm. That being said, what do you think of? Did you listen to what Mourinho said after the game?
That he doesn't care what anybody thinks, and then he named a bunch of people that he didn't care what they thought.
That and the fact that he said that the Liverpool victory was just a warm-up. Brighton and Sevilla are much more important matches.
Yes, because they're knockout matches. Yeah. I mean, I understand what he's saying. He's saying the Sevilla game is, I guess, a bigger game.
Well, Sevilla, but I mean...
The Brighton at home FA Cup. I mean,
come on.
What he's trying to say is that that's how much he cares about knockout tournaments.
No, that's a sideways dig at Klopp and Liverpool.
Well, yes.
And you know, Exactly.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he's always taking digs. Yeah, sure. Sure.
It's disrespectful. I mean,
well, he's disrespectful.
It's United Liverpool. I mean, it's a big game, no matter what.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to segue into that, Ken. I felt it in this one, but I felt like it was a second place battle, a battle for the last spot left in England to battle for. And I felt it on that side. I didn't feel, and maybe this is just because, you know, we're American, Ken, and we're not in these cities, but I didn't feel that I didn't feel any like hatred for like Salah. I mean, I dislike Firmino.
Okay, pause right there with the hatred and us being American. Any American listening right now that watches the Premier League, you have to start watching This Is Football. This weekend, they did This Is Football, and it was Arsenal Football Club that they were highlighting.
Mm-hmm.
But that shows the exact, like, what is Arsenal and Tottenham really, like, what are they fighting for? Really? At the end of the day, nothing. Neither of us are going to win the league. They got knocked out of the Champions League. We are maybe fighting for Europa. We might win that league. But there's going to be no titles won by Tottenham and potentially no titles won by Arsenal except for the Community Shield. Mm-hmm. But when you watch that, that highlights the massive, absolute importance of rivalry derby games. Like, it's pure hatred. You got to watch it.
I hope
that they do This Is Football on all 20 teams. Because I love it. It'll get you pumped up, man.
I felt it a little bit in this match just because, I mean, it is Liverpool and how close they were. But I feel it more for City right now.
Is that because City's winning the league?
Maybe.
Handedly?
But handedly? But we're... No, it's... I think it's because of Pep and the style and the way the games are played. I guess what I'm saying is the Man United-Liverpool matchup... they asked Nemanja Vidic in the middle of the week what this matchup was to him, and he said red cards. It was probably because he got sent off so many times in these matches. I think he got sent off the last three that he played in.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, it's not, you know, there's a lot of big fouls that happen. A lot of Gary Neville versus Carragher. Gerrard grabbed that red card that cost Liverpool their season, his last season, if you remember that, Ken. Remember he got it, he came on as a sub, and he got it like 30 seconds later, and United ended up winning.
That last season of Gerrard, by the way, you could talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. But, I mean, it was nice to have something
between
the match.
It'd be disrespectful, too. I never would.
Yeah. It was nice to have this matchup. I just didn't feel... I don't feel the same way about Klopp that I did about Rafa Benitez.
I think that Klopp can bring that back. The problem is with rivalry matches, and you're not going to like this, it's Mal.
Well, yeah.
Mal is the problem. Mal is he deflects so much that he doesn't allow you as a fan, he doesn't allow his players to get hyped up. They got the win. It doesn't matter. So at the end of the day, it's fine. Whatever he's doing is obviously right, and he knows way more about it than us.
Mm-hmm.
But as a fan, I need to feel hatred.
I like loathing.
I want to see a tackle, not to injure somebody, but I want to see a tackle for no damn reason.
Yeah, I mean,
just because it's Tottenham, or just because it's United on a Liverpool fan. Like, it has to happen. And when you get managers like Mourinho, it ruins it for him.
I think that's the mercenary manager model, though. I mean...
I don't like it, though.
Yeah, I don't like it either, because, you know, how could Mal say that this is a bigger derby match than he's ever been in before? He's been in, Porto Sporting. He's been in... Real Madrid, Barcelona. He's been in Inter Milan versus AC Milan. And of course,
yeah, is he just
Chelsea...
kind of numb to it? It doesn't matter to
him
anymore?
That's probably it. Chelsea, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham. Who's the biggest Chelsea rivalry? Is it Arsenal?
I don't know. There's so many clubs in London. I mean, it could be West Ham. Who knows?
Well, I know Palace is there a little bit, but anyway, you know, he's
all these teams in London. I mean, doesn't mean it's a rivalry, but it's just like one of those things.
Yeah, he definitely played it down. It's still Liverpool, Man United, and it means a lot to the clubs, especially when they're battling for something. Ken, after this match,
Well, I don't know if it means a lot to the clubs anymore, but I think it does. It still means a lot to the fans.
Rashford, especially after the game, was talking about how much it means, and Lingard as well, as they're both youth academy players from the area of Manchester, what it means to play Liverpool. Jamie Carragher, former Liverpool legend, is a pundit now. Gary Neville, Manchester United legend, is a pundit now, and they go head-to-head a lot. And they were talking about what it means and the spitting that happens and the tackles.
Usual suspects were at this game.
Yeah,
Alex was there. Neville was there.
Vidic was talking about it. I think Vidic might still be banned from the last time.
I think it still matters, but it's just when you have a manager like Mao, he just kind of ruins it for me. Just so much deflecting. Just take a swipe at this guy, at Klopp.
He's done it when they're not playing each other.
Just do it, though.
He'll take swipes when they're not playing each other.
The pre-game press conference. Like, just do something. Say something crazy. Yeah. Make somebody watch the
game
that wasn't going to watch it.
Poke someone in the eye.
Verbally, not physically.
Well, he did poke someone in the eye.
Verbally poke them.
Anyway, so after this match, Liverpool drops into third, and then subsequently fourth as Tottenham wins on Sunday, Ken. But
In stunning fashion.
United now sit 4 points clear of third place. It doesn't matter to Ken. It matters to me. Tottenham is in third now on 61 points. Liverpool in fourth on 60 points. And the goal differentials are 35, 34, 34 between those three clubs. So it could be a nice,
be crazy.
Interesting run in for the silver medal. Ken, you're welcome to join the race anytime you want to. And
it's going to be crazy for second to fourth and
maybe fifth.
20th to, or not 20th, 19th to, what is it? Like 12th even. I'll go up to 12.
Oh yeah. The relegation battle.
I mean, 19 to 12, I mean, it's separated by 7 points. There's a lot of games left.
I know. And a lot of those teams, it all matters who they're playing, because I know United plays relegation battlers with the exception of Arsenal and Man City.
Well, City plays Stoke tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's a big game.
That is a big game.
Not for City, but for Stoke.
No, for Stoke. Excuse me. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if Stoke can somehow pull off a victory, that puts them to 16th.
Yeah.
Well, 17th because of goal difference, but that's out of relegation. Well, yeah, it matters.
We'll talk a little more about relegation, but Bournemouth hot in the relegation mess down there. At home against Tottenham, Bournemouth gets, I guess you would call it a lucky break. You don't want to oversell an injury, but Harry Kane gets injured in this one, and I believe when he was injured, Bournemouth was up 1-0. I'm trying to remember, but...
they were. It was actually the first time they've come from behind at home this season to win.
Well, they were playing Bournemouth. They were away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think this is the first time they came from behind to win a game this season. Not at home.
Okay. I know that they went down the first...
The announcer said something
in
crazy
the seventh
like that.
Minute to Stanislas's goal. And then, Tottenham gets... They get hot, and Son Min scores twice here, Ken.
Twice, yeah.
Once... when the game was, when Bournemouth was all the way pressed forward, and man, I don't know the last time I've seen a fast break with that many people behind you by 30 yards. Like, it was off a corner kick where they sent everybody forward, and he was just one-on-one with the goalkeeper for like 70 yards. Puts the game away, and then Serge Aurier, you know, Ken, he had three foul throws in the last game he played in, and then he had another foul throw in this game. I think that's terrible, because they're so loose with the throw-in laws.
I think every throw-in is a foul. So if you didn't call on it,
I know.
Like, it's ridiculous.
I know.
Remember when you were little? You're like 10, 11. Me and Tom are like 32, 33. Mm-hmm. I'll be 33 this year. Remember when if the ball was spinning, it was a foul throw, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you get called back? Like,
I know.
It had to be rotating in a very like circular, like up and down motion only.
Yeah.
Now the ball is spinning.
I know.
I mean, they're throwing the ball backwards when they're looking. They're throwing the ball left when they're looking right. Like, to get called on a foul, I mean, you got to pretty much be jumping.
Yeah, because you can walk and throw. They do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know who I bet never got called for a foul throw? And I bet Tyler had the most pristine throw-ins. Tyler, are you rocking rec specs and just they brought you onto the field just to get throw-ins right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. both feet always firmly in contact with the ground when I released.
And you probably had
a good 1 foot behind the sideline, so you were definitely not touching the chalk.
Oh yeah,
Tyler, flip thrower or no, or is that for the peacocks of the league?
No, I was just with the basics, just a good solid throw. I didn't try
ever
to do
play with
fancy.
A guy
technically.
You ever play with a guy who does a flip throw? How annoying! Is that?
I didn't, but my brother Dr. Pete did. This dude who had I'll never forget it because he'd do a flip throw and his shirt would come up, and he was like 12 years old and he had all his chest hair. And I was like, is that what you need to do a flip?
It was fear tactic. Yeah.
Yeah, his name is Reed, I think. Yeah, he could launch the ball, and I was like, oh man, like that's
what I have
to do. The
momentum you get on a flip throw is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was like, that's what
you
I
throw
have
it halfway down the field.
Do that. Yeah, so no, I never played with somebody. I watched that one dude, but I never played anybody did that. I played against a guy who threw a ball in from like 40 yards from our goal. It hit the ground. Our field was terrible in high school, and bounced over our 6'6" goalie's head and into the goal. And I think he got a finger on it, too. And it counted, and we've never let him live it down. They threw the ball into our goal. It's terrible. Anyway, back to Tottenham. They win big here, 4-1. They get a little bit on the goal differential. Harry Kane, on the other hand, gets his leg rolled over by the goalkeeper on a goal that he scored that was offside. Ken, you were talking about what they said after the game. Pochettino thinks it's a similar injury to last year, which you said was, what, 2 months?
He said it could be ligament damage to his ankle, and if it's the same, last season he missed 2 months for that. Now, today, they showed, I mean, they were losing when Tottenham when Kane went out. So,
yeah.
I mean,
that's
well,
good.
Son has been awesome. I think he has
exactly
7 goals
right.
in his last 4 matches.
Dele Alli comes in and scores.
Yeah, Sun Dele Alli.
Mm-hmm. Arias scores another one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
luckily for them, what? I think this week's game's postponed.
Well, they have an
right?
FA Cup match.
They have an FA Cup match. I mean, but at this point, you're out of Champions League. I know Tottenham. Believe me.
You know Tottenham.
I know it's a trophy, and you want to lift it up. But at this point, it might be best to focus on the league. Make sure you finish fourth.
So, I do want to talk about knowing Tottenham, Ken, because that Juventus-Tottenham game was excellent, and, you know, I watched Tottenham over both legs.
Which one? They were both really good.
They were both really good, and, you know, going into the
game... Champions League tie, like, definitely Champions League tie to watch. Like,
yeah, going into the game, it's a 2-2 tie, and Tottenham has 2 away goals, so they have the advantage. Going back into Wembley... And they score first, and Ken completely dominated Juventus, made Juventus look old. Son, if not for a miscalculation or whatever you want to call it, he just missed a shot. He was through, he skinned Barzagli like 3 or 4 times. Chiellini gets beaten by Harry Kane, who hits side netting when 9 times out of 10 he scores that goal. Goes around the goalkeeper, and then basically Juventus changed their shape in the 60th minute, and Tottenham... switched off for about 3 minutes. Juventus scores twice during that time period and then goes into lockdown mode, which was a very impressive lockdown mode that they went into. They played unbelievably defensively efficient, and you knew that Tottenham wasn't going to score. I give them kudos. Juventus
it was
definitely,
impossible. It would have been a fluke if they were to score.
And they almost did.
The
they hit the post.
Down.
They hit the post, but it was against, I mean, the way that Juventus were playing, I definitely think that Juventus, when they have a lead going into the 80th minute, are probably the best, maybe the best club in the world at locking it down right now. That being said, Ken, after the game, Juventus said, well, we knew we were going to win because it was Tottenham, and we knew Tottenham would screw up. It's like, they took it to you in the first leg and drew you at your place, which hadn't been done since...
Came back from 2-0 down, you bums.
Played better than you, and then completely beat you into the ground in the first half of this match. You're telling me that was your plan, was to get skinned alive by Son and Kane, and really only survive the first half because two guys who were on fire missed the goals by
two
inches.
It's one of those things. Like, it's easy to say, to talk the way
exactly.
they were talking because they won.
I thought it was super disrespectful.
I do think that they're like it might have been tactically, like, you know, they maybe like they were setting in, they didn't think that they were going to win the possession game. but they maybe thought they were going to win the tie as a whole. But to say it the way they said unanimously,
yeah,
super disrespectful. You play in the Italian league. Seriously.
I mean, and you looked anciently old for about 87 minutes of that game. And
right.
You looked
It's unbelievable. Old. One, you play in the Italian league. Two, Tottenham plays in the toughest league in the world. And they're probably, it pains me to even say this, but one of the most consistent clubs in the toughest league in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You got lucky. Yeah. Super lucky. And to say that you weren't sweating when Tottenham scored that first goal in the second leg, you're lying. That was not part of the plan. That's like a fighter saying, I got punched 100 times in the head to make the guy think that he was better than me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to put it. You could have been knocked out at any time.
Yeah, like, shut up.
I thought that was unprofessional.
You can say what you want, but it's still disrespectful.
Why say it, though? Why not just say, like, it was a really good match and Tottenham deserves credit for the way they played, instead coming out afterwards and saying, like,
yeah. You get a lot more brownie points that way.
Yeah,
like,
we deserved it.
Just being professional. Like, yeah, do I think we deserve to win? Obviously, the way we played. We won, so I think we deserve to win. But let's not take anything away from Tottenham.
Exactly.
They did come back from 2-0 down away at the old lady.
Yeah, I think.
What the heck?
I'm rooting for Juventus to get smashed in the next round. So they're a great Champions League squad. They probably won't.
Of course they are, because they play in the Italian league. It doesn't matter. They don't have anything to play for. It's like Spanish.
They
teams.
Do this year. It's. I think it's tight in the Italian league. Our league not
first
so tight.
Time in 7 years.
Yeah. But Tottenham with a tough luck loss in the Champions League. They do have the FA Cup left. They play Swansea this weekend at Swansea. Harry Kane, it remains to be seen how long he'll be out. Son is going to have to continue. He's been in unreal form. He does score in the Juve game and plays extremely well. Should have had two goals. Kane should have had one, and then they would have been through. But as it is, you have to be upset if you're a Tottenham fan because you win the hardest group and then you get rewarded by a draw with Juventus.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't. I know you're not sympathetic, but
yeah. I mean, I want all the English teams to win, but I did. You know, I did not want Tottenham to go any further than this.
That's fair enough. I understand where you're coming from, Ken. So you know, tough luck. In that one, in the other matchup, Ronaldo scores his, like, 1 millionth Champions League goal. The guy's ridiculous in the Champions League. I think he already has 13, Ken, and we're through the first, through the 16. Real Madrid beats PSG. Immediately, rumors start that Neymar is going to Real Madrid, which is a
joke. For 400 million.
Which is a joke. I mean, it could happen.
Million.
I don't mean it's a joke because it might not happen because it could. Because
no, I think
Neymar's
it definitely
camp
is going
to
happen.
I think Neymar's camp is super scummy.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I would love it, too. It would be awesome.
It would be a lot of... I would probably watch the Clasico matches to see the Barcelona fans react to Neymar coming back.
And I hope it takes a long time because, you know, I love living in rumor land.
I know
I
you
love
do.
It.
I know
love
you
it.
Do, Ken.
I'm glad that they're starting it already, those scumbags.
PSG is...
I mean, don't you think that... Well, maybe Neymar... You think he doesn't want to play for Conte?
I don't know. It could be.
I think Conte's already signed a deal to be PSG's manager.
No, I think he...
What do you think, Tyler Alfeld?
You think Conte's going to PSG? You think Conte's picking out a flat in Paris, Tyler?
I think he already signed a deal.
I don't think so.
I highly doubt PSG.
Let's start a rumor. I think he already signed it. It's done and dusted.
Marca, the Madrid magazine, they can, you can, you heard it here, Marca, you can print it. It's fine.
Print it.
Tyler, keep you on for a second. So we'll go right from one Champions League to the next, and we'll go to the Barcelona versus Chelsea match, as Tyler said before we got on here. Barcelona playing Chelsea, a 1-1 draw, one away goal for Barcelona. Tyler, can Chelsea do it? Can they beat Barcelona? I'm actually rooting for Chelsea because I'd much rather play at Chelsea than Barcelona if we were in the Champions League.
I am rooting for Chelsea too. No surprise there, but absolutely not. Will they be able to do it?
You don't think Willian can steal a goal
and then
they pack
Tyler.
It in?
Be a fan.
I'm a fan, but I'm also a realist. I'm not going to be blind to the fact that the shape the team is in with having one away goal with them right now, they are not going to go away and perform as well as they did at home, and they didn't perform that well at home.
Hey, well, Messi didn't play this weekend because of a quote-unquote personal reason.
Yeah, well, he's playing.
What do you think of? Let's say what his personal reason is. Maybe he was just getting ready for Chelsea, maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, maybe he personally hates Chelsea, Tyler.
I don't know. Maybe he was upset he couldn't get on the roller coaster because he wasn't tall enough. But
get him, Tyler. Get him. Call him short.
That's the spirit. That's the spirit.
Throw those
punches. That's what I've got.
I like
but
it.
But no, I trust me, I wholeheartedly want to see Chelsea win, but I have no illusions that they will.
Messi, incidentally, also had a baby born this weekend. His son or daughter, I don't remember which, but just saying.
Get to work.
Yeah. We all got babies and things.
Get to work.
Ken was on the phone immediately after after his second baby was born. Immediately. Making calls. Making moves. Anyway, Tyler, so you got Barcelona. They are in imperious form. They have not lost a game in La Liga. I believe it's 27 matches. And they won this weekend without Messi. And
yeah,
Messi's
be
been
tough.
Good. It's going to be tough. But, Tyler, let's talk about Willian and Hazard. Willian on the up. Scoring constantly by scoring an Arjen Robben goal where you just cut the ball inside and take, like, two touches past people and then blast a bender into the corner. Willian scored another one of those this weekend and has just been unbelievable. And then at the same time, Eden Hazard, who normally plays that left-wing spot occupied currently by Willian, has been forced to play center midfield against United when he was pulled off. And as a number nine striker, a false nine, coming back to the ball where he doesn't get the ball as much and plays pretty poorly. Tyler, do you think that Eden Hazard and Willian can coexist and coexist in this game?
So, yes. I think they can coexist in the game. I think that they can both play opposite sides of the field and be attacking midfielders that are on the wing. Mm-hmm. But my issue with Hazard, or what I think his issue is first he has no consistency in where he's playing. Like you said,
yeah,
they're putting him
place.
Up front. Mm-hmm. They're taking... And the other thing is how the lineup is right now. They're playing four midfielders. When Hazard was at his best, they had the strong defensive line with four people and one defensive center mid, and then they had a mid guy, and Hazard had a lot of room to run. He had a lot of room to make plays, and he did. And that's when he shines, is when he has... right now you have Alonso, who's mm-hmm. scoring a ton of goals.
Yeah, he's playing well.
And he's playing real well, and he is in the same position that you know, Hazard would usually play, because Hazard would be moving up and down the field a lot more, not having four people in the midfield behind him ahead of the defenders. So I think that is why he's just not getting the room to move around, and he's also not getting a consistent place to play.
Yeah, no, I think it's difficult, like you said, when you're not getting your role. And Hazard has been a player of the season candidate coming in from the left wing, but Willian's just playing so well right now that you can't not play him, and you have to pick the one that's playing better, and that's Willian for now. And it is a little disappointing to see Hazard not get anything out of the nine spot. The other side of that would be, Tyler, that you're not getting anything out of Morata. And Giroud actually played really well this weekend, but you hadn't been getting anything out of him either. Had a good game against Palace. But overall, the number nines in Chelsea haven't been good. Do you think that's Conte's fault, or do you think it's the personnel?
I think that ever since... I'm going to say ever since we made the horrible bobble with one of the best strikers in the league and let him go.
Mm-hmm. Diego Costa.
Right. Mm-hmm. That nobody is... It's a position that doesn't seem to have a lot of longevity, and it's also a position that when you occupy it and you don't do well, you get the axe.
Yeah,
real quickly,
you don't have time.
And you lose the favor of the team. So if you don't go out there and shine immediately, it's a one-way ticket, basically, once you're in that position for Chelsea right now. And I haven't seen anybody step into it and last for an appreciable amount of time since the Costa thing went down.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Ken, what do you think? You think it's just all Morata's fault for talking all that smack in the beginning of the year and then just falling apart in the second half of the season?
I do. While I like to take, happy feelings in Murata's struggles this season because he was just such a big mouthed, like, star. Like, thought he was such a star coming in. He was just going to be so easy to him to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I do think it's kind of funny that he's doing nothing but struggling. I mean, it looks like he doesn't even know how to put his shorts on in the locker room when he's on the pitch. I mean, and that's being, like, kind of mean, but he doesn't bring anything of value when he's on the pitch. I mean, a yellow card here and there.
That's true.
He's pretty much, you know, invisible, not there. Now he's not even playing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for you, Giroux hasn't had enough time, which I do feel like it was a mistake for us to sell him to them. But Giroux is a good player. He just takes time to set in. I mean, if you look back at, like, him coming into Arsenal, it wasn't immediately.
Yeah.
So it does just take a little bit of time. But, yeah, I love watching Chelsea and seeing Morata on the bench. And I don't even know if Morata cares that he's on the bench. Because I think that he wants to leave. Because he knows, he's already admitted that the league is too hard. But at the end of the day, I think all Chelsea's issues, they stem from the board. And it starts with, I can't think of his name right now, but
Abramovich?
The owner. Yeah. Abramovich. Yeah, mm-hmm. Abramovich.
Oh,
and
Roman.
Then it goes to Conte. Conte is the issue too, because Conte is showing signs of not wanting to be there. And that's why I think he already has a deal signed to go somewhere else, because he just doesn't seem like he cares anymore. And when your manager doesn't care, the owner doesn't care to give the manager any type of decision-making power when it comes to who they want to bring in or bring anyone in. It just seemed like the writing was on the wall in the beginning that Conte was out and we're not going to allow him to make decisions to bring people in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Chelsea, it's the same problems that they always have. The manager doesn't know how secure his job is. The players definitely don't know how secure their jobs are, except for the fact that they know that 11 of them strong can get a manager fired because they've done that countless times in the past.
I would agree with that. I think they are the strongest players' power in the league. They have gotten
managers
fired.
They all have to
fired.
Be together, though.
Yeah, I think they have gotten managers fired. Also,
like, if David Luiz was a bigger player in the locker room, Conte would already be fired.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Because he hasn't been playing at all.
Like, let that have happened to, what's his face?
John Terry.
He'd be gone.
Yeah, that man.
He would have been
gone
the minute he pulled John Terry from the starting 11.
Yeah. I do want to add, Tyler, do you want to have any rebuttal to that, the idea that it is on the board?
No, I agree with that, because I think that the board needs to tell the manager that they're in full control and that they have so many seasons. Like, give them 3 years and let them know that they, no matter what, they have 3 years. And then the players have to respect them because they know that that manager is going to be there. The only thing I'm going to push back on Ken on is the Morata thing. I mean, you can't argue with the first 40% of the season where he was in the top five goal scorers. He had as many or more assists than everybody else in the top five. And he had one or two hat tricks. So I can't agree with you that it's because he's a bad player. I think it just all comes from everybody not knowing what their role is or how
you
solid
they are.
You have
to look back at who they were playing off field. He's never showed up once in a big game. Never.
Oh, he did score against United.
Hateful. Yeah, he did. You're
big
right.
Goal.
So let's say once. Let's say once.
I'll give him one.
He's not a big player. And he did come in throwing a lot of shade onto this league, saying he was going to come in and it would be simple for him. It would be an easy transition. And it has been anything but that.
Well, I'll just end it with this, saying that Morata picked up a yellow card in the 86th minute in this one, Ken.
That's what he does. That is what he
does. I just
thought
it was funny.
I mean,
but,
you look at Morata, like, the goal scorer. He has 10 goals this season.
Was he have one since November?
10?
Yeah.
Do you think that your premier striker that you brought in to replace a proven Premier League winner was expected to score 10 goals? You said he'd easily score 17. 30 weeks ago.
18.
18, actually. You said 18 off field. You're right, Thomas. You said 18.
That was the bet.
Well, if he would have kept his form up that he showed at the beginning, he would have far surpassed
that.
Well,
that's what form he got beat up. Is temporary.
He got beat up.
What do the Arsenal say? Form is temporary. Class is permanent. He has no class. He cannot perform in this league. He cannot perform in this league. He can't. He's proving it. And I think when Conte leaves, Morata won't be long after, because there's no way on earth that a manager of any type of, worth any type of salt, is going to keep a 10-goal striker.
AC Milan's next striker and manager combo, Conte and Alvaro Morata. So you wanted to talk about class remaining permanent. Ken, Arsenal this week goes to the San Siro against AC Milan and wins 2-0 in their Europa match, which all of a sudden, Ken, everyone is watching, yourself included.
I am watching now, mm-hmm. and it's because, like I said earlier, now it matters. Because of the way that we performed in the league. So I won't repeat any of that.
No.
But it absolutely does matter now. And the reason that that game means any more than what it was, is AC Milan a young, struggling team? Yes. But was Arsenal coming off of the worst week of the season going into that? Definitely.
Yeah.
Skull dragged by City twice.
First 2 weeks.
Skull dragged by City twice.
Mm-hmm.
6-0 differential, 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lose to Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
So going over to Italy, AC Milan, I mean, I'm a diehard fan, and I was not expecting to leave with a clean sheet, much less a 2-0 clean sheet.
Yeah.
So now we hold the power going into the second leg of this tie at home. Let's lock it up. We do go into Watford. We get our just dessert, sweet, sweet vengeance over that little prick, Troy Deeney.
That's right. Troy Deeney said that Arsenal didn't have any cojones after
everyone knows what he
said.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that Hector Bellerin came out and said, gave a little retort to hit Troy Deeney's little long-haired comment he made.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months back, saying maybe Bellerin can't see what he's doing because of his long hair, something to that effect. Yeah. I'm glad that Troy Deeney missed that PK today. And mm-hmm. I'm also glad that Petr Cech got to get his 200th career clean sheet blocking a Troy Deeney PK.
Sure.
So, Troy Deeney, go back to Watford where you don't matter.
Yeah.
And nobody cares what you say.
3-0 Arsenal.
3-0. We're flying. 2-0 against AC Milan. Now. Is this just the same old from Arsene Wenger?
Mm-hmm. The blip.
Go the whole season burying us, like pretty much walking out with a shovel every week, just digging one more scoop.
Yep.
One more scoop in your own grave. And then you come out in the last month of the season, which I'm not even surprised if he does.
It's warming up, buddy.
It will warm up soon, to mm-hmm. your point, Tom.
Yep.
Would it surprise me to see something crazy happen to where Arsenal does make a big fight to where it does look like the last two games of the season that we've got a chance to get in the fourth? It wouldn't surprise me because it's very Wenger. It's very Wenger-like.
It would be ridiculous.
He's a last month of the season. Do I think we're too far? Full disclosure, definitely.
Yes.
I think it's too far. I don't think we can finish sixth. I think we have a better chance of finishing seventh.
Yeah.
But now, my tune has changed, ladies and gentlemen.
It's good to hear.
All of our focus should be on winning Europa League. You have Dortmund, who just lost to Red Bull.
Yes, they did.
Hey, if Dortmund can be out, that's one less hurdle.
Mm-hmm. Atletico Madrid, to me.
And if Madrid did, I mean, what did Madrid smoke? Like, they smoked 3-0, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, it's 3-0.
Atletico Madrid will be the biggest hurdle, but yeah. It is looking like it is a winnable. There is a very real chance.
There are teams in the same level as you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We can win that tournament. If we can bring home Europa League and get into the Champions League that way, the loving side of Wenger in me does say, I want Wenger to win that trophy. But only on the assurance that you still leave this summer. Leave with a European title.
If he gets that trophy, I'm telling you, he's coming back.
Well, my fear is, honestly, Tom, is that if he doesn't win Europa League, mm-hmm. we finish in 6th or 7th. I think 6th, but it could be 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the skid.
Yeah.
When next season comes, I think that he'll still think that he is very much the man and the manager to bring them out of the turmoil that he is unwilling to admit that he brought us to.
Yes.
And I think that he will negotiate a contract extension. Because there will be no one available. There'll be no one available. I don't like the idea of Jurgen Klopp coming in. He hasn't managed a club since 2002.
He also got caught scratching and smelling his genitals on live television.
I don't care too much about that.
You should look at the GIFs.
I've seen them. I don't care amazing. About that.
If he signs them, I'm sending you one every day.
It's just the politics that come along with the club. It's different than international.
Mm-hmm.
It's an everyday grind type thing. Where I don't know if the international level like really requires that. I want him to win Euro. I want to win Euro because I want to get a Champions League. That's the only reason.
To give the Champions League back its prestige.
The Champions League should want us to win the Euro League because yes. right now you guys are playing in a league that doesn't. You're playing a tournament that doesn't matter.
An Arsenal-less Champions League is not a Champions League. Ken, what is it? If it but has no Arsenal, it can't be a Champions League.
I am not surprised in this week's events. And the reason I'm not surprised is because next week, we'll go and lose to some team you never heard of.
Yep, that's probably true. And that's
the quality, the consistency is what's missing. And the consistency is the sole reason I want Wenger to win Europa League. And I want him to ride out into the sunset with his Europa trophy
yep.
in tow. We build a statue the very next day. We reserve a seat for him. And we just remember the memories. Because he's done a world of difference for this club. And it is to not be forgotten. And anyone who says he hasn't done anything for the club is disrespectful. And lying to yourself, honestly. I mean, he's a legendary manager. Thomas, you have to admit that.
I would say that his first 10 years were amazing. And then his years where he was keeping the club in Champions League while they were building the stadium and not spending any money. There's something to be said about that. Over the last 3 years, definitely tarnished his legacy, but at the same time, you'd have to say that his first 8 to 10 years were groundbreaking at the time.
Exactly.
And that's not to be forgotten, like you said. Anyway, so all eyes on Europa League and maybe occasionally the Champions League if you're bored, right, Ken?
If I'm bored, I'll watch it, yeah.
If you're bored. So the Champions League next 8 will be incredible. It'll be decided coming up here who's going to be putting the hat. United plays Sevilla. There's a 0-0 scoreline at Old Trafford. United pretty much have to win. They could win. They have to win. If they draw anything besides 0-0, I mean, that's not possible because if it's 0-0, they'll go into extra time. They have to win. Jose putting all his eggs in the United home form basket makes me anxious because United don't win a lot of games by more than a goal. So a draw wouldn't do it, obviously. A 1-1 draw, of course, would mean that they would be out. So I'm absolutely anxious about this one. If they make any mistakes, they're out of it.
I said, I want all the English clubs to progress.
Yeah.
But Mourinho is the reason I want United out.
Yeah, well, I understand.
I just want to have to hear him answer to some questions, honestly.
I think that, the next round, the teams that are going to be in the next round, you're talking about City, you're talking about Liverpool, Barcelona or Chelsea, either way, Real Madrid, I think Shakhtar is a possibility to get through, and Roma, one of those two teams, that would be your best case scenario, the next round of the Champions League, and then from here on out is just going to be incredible. Sevilla, if they were to beat United, would be the team that you'd want to match up against. But the next round and the rounds after that are going to be incredible. They're all going to be mega matchups. So it'll be a ton of fun. I'm very excited about the Sevilla game, very anxious, but glad to be in one of these big game situations. I know, Tyler, we talked about the Chelsea-Barcelona match, and I know you're, you know, as you should be, you're cautiously pessimistic, but with a little bit of hope, because there's always hope that Willian scores a goal and you guys sit on it, Tyler. So, you know, we can be all right here.
I'll be keeping my fingers crossed, and I'll be watching the screen this Wednesday.
Yeah. Arsenal plays Thursday, right, Ken?
Uh-huh.
So they can... If they drop the ball here, we probably won't do a show next week.
I won't be here.
we probably would not do a show next week if Arsenal loses.
I won't be here.
It'll just be Tyler and myself talking to each other. But yeah, so a lot of big matches coming up this weekend, and then a bunch of FA Cup games. These are all quarterfinal games, which will lead to semifinal games. Should be good semifinal FA Cup matchups. Tyler and Ken.
Yeah, Leicester. Taking down Leicester. Yeah. That's a team we can beat. Barcelona at home, no. Leicester, I think we can take them down.
We'll see. That's part of the relegation fight. Ken, real briefly, we don't have that much time. We'll have to get into it more next time. Brighton, 34 points. Crystal Palace, 27 points. That is your line. The relegation line is set at 27 points. And Brighton is 7 points above the drop in 11th place. Ken, I just want to know, we're not going to get deep into it, who are your three picks to get relegated?
Well, West Brom, obviously.
West Brom is at 20 points and 7 points from safety, 8 points from safety.
West Brom, they're done. I will say Stoke and then West Ham.
I think I like the West Ham pick. West Ham this weekend, in case you missed it, they are 3 points above the drop. Their fans ran onto the field as they went down 3-0. Their fans ran on the field and were yelling at players. Their fans surrounded the owner's box and were throwing coins at the owners. Ugly scenes at the stadium.
Well, it's been like just pressure mounting with that with that fan group. I mean, you lose 4-1. To Liverpool, then you get smacked 4-1 against Swansea.
Yeah,
and then you lose 3-0 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something wrong with the club. I mean, you got Joe Hart back in between the sticks.
They brought him back and he let up 3 goals.
You brought him back. Well, I mean, they couldn't keep Adrian in because he let in 8 goals in the last 2 games.
What? Oh man.
So I mean, that is the only reason I think that they're done.
I think
it will pain me. It would pain me to see Crystal Palace get relegated because of of a lack of form in the beginning. I mean, the strength they showed against United, the
City,
the courage they put up against Chelsea just the last 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to lose those games, I mean that. Yeah, you shouldn't be happy with like you can't be, you know. You can't take a 2-0 lead against United easily, but to lose that game, that's difficult to swallow.
Yeah, it was a
and
tough
then to
loss
lose a game off of an own goal to Chelsea. I mean, they are showing they deserve to be in the league. West Ham is showing they do not.
Yeah,
they made lot of big signings this season. They were looked upon to me as being very easily to survive.
Yeah,
with the signings they made,
the Europa
and nobody
challenger.
Cares.
No.
Nobody cares. So they to me, I picked them to go down, and Stoke just because unfortunately they play City tomorrow. I think that's a loss.
That's a
puts them at 27
and a bigger goal differential.
I mean,
worse than the league.
They're suffering with the goal differential.
Yeah,
negative I don't even 26. Think it's the worst. I think it's one of the worst.
It is the worst. Yeah.
I just think Palace deserves to be there, and I think West Ham's going to do enough to go away. I think that West Ham deserves it. Who do you think?
I think West Ham is in shambles, and I think that they're going to respond. I just think they have too much firepower to get relegated. I know that
they've scored 2 goals in the last 3 games with all their firepower, and they only played one team, by the way, Tom, that is any good.
Yeah, I think Southampton's the team to go down. They are just absolutely sleepwalking towards the cliff right now.
They are. They
and
are.
I think
they...
Stoke and West Brom. But Southampton, their form has been absolutely miserable.
So you say Southampton, I say West Ham.
Yeah. The Southampton sits 2 points above the drop. No, I'm sorry, 1 point above the drop. And I just think that their form, they're showing the lack of blood they're showing is going to cost them. And I think Palace is the opposite. I think Palace sneaks out, Southampton drops in. I think West Ham... I don't think David Moyes is a good manager. We've talked about this. Maybe he was at one time, but he's not anymore. And I think if he has anything at all, he'll be able to rally his players around the idea that you are about to drop and your fans are melting. You're about to drop. So I think that West Ham will somehow squeak it out, and Southampton will continue to show no life at all from their fans or otherwise and just drop out of the league, which is sad because they're such a both clubs we're talking about are clubs that have been Premier League clubs for a while. So, anyway, that's the relegation picture, a snapshot. We'll get more into it as the year goes on and, you know, we get down to the very end. These games are going to be massive in the relegation battle. And if you haven't watched them before, oftentimes they have more on the line than the title matches. Obviously, there's no title match this year. But the, I mean,
well, that's why tomorrow matters.
The
relegation battle.
The relegation battles, the last three games or so, especially the last game of the season, those are the ones you want to watch. There's so much on the line. So Stoke City, Manchester City tomorrow at Stoke. I mean, Stoke's going to try to sneak players in the field and put them in the goal and in the box because they need a draw here. They'll take anything they can get. I'm sure they wish they had Tony Pulis now, as they are staring right at the relegation zone. But all right, Ken, anything else you want to add? A very busy week.
I've got nothing. More positivity for the Arsenal.
The best club in the world, Ken. Is that what you're going to say?
Fact. That's an absolute fact.
They're back. They're back in that spot. Tyler, anything you want to add, sir?
I'm all good.
All right. Manchester United is rolling. However, if they lose to Sevilla, it'll feel pretty empty. We still have the FA Cup against Brighton, and looking good as they sit 4 points clear, Ken, of third place in second, firmly entrenched in that silver medal. Manchester City, of course, way, way, way in front of everybody else, and they play Stoke tomorrow. But for Tyler Offeld and Ken Lee, I am Tom Miller saying I hope everybody has an awesome week.